So last week, we tried to focus a little bit on the mitzvah of Sipat Yis Mitzrayim, Hein Mitam Halacha, Hein Mitam Achshava, and we saw that there are obviously themes and nuances that link between the two. So I want to continue along the lines of what we spoke a little bit about last week, and almost focus a little bit more on dual aspects of this mitzvah. Dual aspects that at first glance almost seem to contradict one another, and yet, when we perform both of these aspects in unison, so we really get a complete picture of what the mitzvah of Sipat Yis Mitzrayim and ultimately what the entire Seder experience is really all supposed to be all about. There are two halachic terms that we are familiar with in terms of Hilchos Shabbos that happen to play a major role in terms of Pesach in general and the Leil Seder in specific. Of course, the two terms that make up all of Hilchos Shabbos are the terms Zochar and Shomer. Chazal in Maseches Brachos, Daf Chof already commented on the fact that in the two sets of the Seres Adibros, in Pashas Yisro, Pashas Vatzchanan, so the Torah presents the mitzvah of Shabbos in a slightly different light than in Pashas Yisro. The Torah describes it Zochar Shem Shabbos Akacho, Pashas Vatzchanan, the Torah describes the Chomer Shem Shabbos Akacho. And Chazal say that those two statements are really very, very different. And it's really a pella, it's really a question. How can the Torah present us two very, very different descriptions of what the Seres Adibros were? So Shomer and Zochar are almost contradictory one another. And the Upper Chazal say it must be that this is something that's impossible to understand. That it's something which is a chiddush, that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could pull off such a thing. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could make such a nace that he could utter two different phrases that are contradictory at the same time. And the Jewish people were able to recover them at the same time is also part of the double nace. And that's, of course, the famous statement of Chazal, Shomer v'zocher b'dibarecha nemru. Why are these two terms seemingly contradictory? Because Shemira Shabbos, Shomer, is always a description of Yisurim. It's always a description of what not to do. Gemara says that in order to give a person Malkus, so you have to have an Azhar Sheba Torah. It has to say in the Torah not to do something. It has to say or even if it doesn't say the word low literally, sometimes it could use another lashon. Pen is also a lashon of low. Or the Gemara says hishomer is also a lashon of low. The Torah says hishomru shomor. Refrain means to guard yourself, to refrain yourself from, stop yourself from doing something. It's also a lashon of yisurim that also constitutes an azhara. So when the Torah says Shomer Shem Shabbos Tekacho, that refers to Isurim. That refers to Malachas, the 39 Malachas. The Avos told us, we just spent 3-4 years discussing all the details of Shomer Shem Shabbos Tekacho. And yet, there's another side. There's a Zohar, the bits of Zechira. The Gemara says in Brachas Adav Chofa, the same sugya, that Zohar refers to the mitzvah of Kiddush. And some Rishonim extend that, not only to the mitzvah of Kiddush proper, perhaps it refers to Suda Shabbos as well. That's like the Rishonim. Does it apply to the other mitzvahs of Shabbos? But Zohar is a very, very different picture than Shomer. So Shomer and Zohar, it's not humanly possible to utter both at the same time because they mean totally different things. One means what you're supposed to not do, and one means what you're supposed to do. It's hard to imagine a more of a difference than between those two themes. And yet Shomer and Zohar with the Berachah Nemru. So it's interesting that those two phrases, Shomer and Zohar, play a major role at the Leil Seder as well. That we find also an emphasis on contradictions of the Leil HaSeder. Shomer, so the mitzvah, of course, this man has said, the mitzvah of the Leil HaSeder, the mitzvah chila is matzah, u'shmartem es ha-matzahs, is a din of shmur matzah. Again, what exactly matzah shmur means, that's about like, is it rishonim? Does it mean you have to be shomer from chometz? Does it mean you have to be shomer shmir l'shma, the shem mitzvah? Those are details. But everyone agrees there's a din of shmartem es ha-matzahs, and you're not yotzei with matzah, it's not shmur matzah. Whether Shmur has to be literally Mishas Ketzira, as it says in all the boxes, so they charge you for that statement, Shmur Mishas Ketzira. Not everyone agrees to it, it's not like in the Gemara. But everyone agrees there has to be, to some degree, of Shmur Matzah. So if Shmur plays such a major role in terms of the Mitzvah Chilas Matzah, then obviously it's something that permeates the entire spirit of the Seder. The Seder is a spirit of Shmira. On the other hand, the word Zechira is also critical to the Leil HaSeder to such an extent that the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin Hilchos Chametz Matzah that the source of the mitzvah of Sipat Yis Mitzrayim is first and foremost from Zochar Yom HaZeh She'etzasim Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. The Rambam says we also derive some of the details from Vigadat al-Mimcha, but the basic Tzuras HaMitzvah is Zachar, Esayem, Ezeh, Shetz, Esayem, Mitzrayim. And then the Rambam even makes a startling statement. The Rambam says, it says Zachar by the Lel HaSeder, K'mo Shekos of Zachar, B'Shabbos. K'mo Shekos of Zachar, B'Shabbos, Akachio. So the Rambam wasn't writing a Sefer Drush. The Rambam, the world of Halacha, made a connection between the two. The Yosameach is a Chiddush. He writes that, based on that Rambam, that the Lel HaSeder, the midst of the Lel HaSeder, are like Kiddush. So then, just as on this unique circumstances, you could sometimes substitute certain things for Kiddush. You probably have to make Kiddush on wine. Maybe we can't make it on wine. Maybe you can make it on bread. We're not advocating running the Seder over four challahs. That's probably not a good thing to do. But maybe it could be Yetzeh to a certain extent, the mitzvah halayla and other things besides actual wine. Maybe whatever the halachas that govern Kiddush would govern the Lel HaSeder as well. So there's definitely is a notion of Zechira by the Lel HaSeder. According to the Rambam, that's the Mokor, that's the Posel of Zohar. And even if you don't accept that Rambam's understanding, but the phrase Laman Tizkor clearly appears at the Seder. We talk about it in the Sibet Yisrael and Dagor itself. We talk about the importance of Maskirin to the Tzram Yom Valelos. So there's no question there's a notion of Zechira. There's no question there's a notion of Shmir by the Lel HaSeder, just like there is by Shabbos. The question is, what message does Shom of Zohar and the Berech HaNemru mean for us on Shabbos? And what is it? How does it carry over to the Lel HaSeder? So the Ramban, in Parshas Yisro, has a very famous comment. And the Ramban explains that Shom of Zohar don't only describe actions and inactions, but rather they describe an entire component of Avodas Hashem, an entire mindset, an entire emotional side of Avodas Hashem, that we ultimately have to be Avodas Hashem mitach Ava and mitach Yira. And says the Ramban, mitzvah's essay are a reflection of Ava. When you love somebody, so you want to be close to them, you want to do things, you want to do actions, you want to spend time with them. So all the mitzvahs essay that we do, we put on tefillin, we say Kriya Shema, we shake a lulav, and blow a shofar. All the mitzvahs that we do are all ways of connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're all expressions of Avas Hashem. Whereas when you're in awe of something, you kind of take a step back. But well, I don't want to get too close. So Shemira, Lav, and Yisurim are expressions of that relationship we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu of Yirah Shemayim. So says the Ramban, in effect, what Shom HaVizoch HaVidibarech HaNemu means for Shabbos is not unique to Shabbos. Shabbos is the model for the entire year, our entire lives of Avodas Hashem. Our lives of Avodas Hashem are a mix between Shomor and Zohar. They're a mix between Ava and Yira. We have to perfect our Avodas Hashem in terms of our coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have to perfect Avodas Hashem in terms of our taking a step back and realizing who we are, what Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Wow, the awe, the trembling, those feelings of reverence for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a combination of the two. And it's almost this perfect balance that we try to strike all the time on Shabbos and on the Lel HaSeder, which almost sets the stage for the entire year. If you think about what our mindset is, how we feel, how do we relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Lel HaSeder, so both are true. On the one hand, it's a time of tremendous Ava. There's a tremendous sense of closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a tremendous sense of Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which of course enhances feelings of Ava. One loves when somebody does such chasadim for you that and we're so appreciative. We have the chance to be Eved Hashem. So that celebration, the Avos L'Chairos, wow, unbelievable, that's amazing. That conjures up these tremendous feelings of love for Kadosh Baruch Hu, rightfully so. And perhaps it's for this reason that the Poskim quote an age-old practice of saying Megillah Shir Hashirim after the Seder. What does Shir Hashirim after the Seder for? What is that? We're going to read it on the last day of Pesach. Why do we have to go run to go say Shir Hashirim by the Seder? So perhaps the reason for this is because the Rambam writes at the end of the Cheshuvah that Shir Hashirim is the mashal for the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael in terms of Avas Hashem. That all of Shir Hashirim is a derech mashal. And so many psukim and so many mashalim and shirashirim refer to events connected to Yitzchus Mitzrayim, because that was the moment of Zachayat Yiloch, Avas Chesed Erech, Avas Losayach. That relationship of love between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael began on the very first Lel HaSeder, began on the end of Pesach. So what better time is there to reach your shirim than literally when you're in that mood of the love into Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the essence of Lel HaSeder. That's the emotion of Lel HaSeder. And yet at the same time, that there's a tremendous closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is that tremendous sense of awe, of pachat, ner v'ayam. And whenever I get to that passage in the Haggadah, when we speak about the Zomar Shechina, yeah, we make mention of the fact that that there was a Moira, there was a pachat, by Yiram es Hashem. Klal Yisrael saw things. They saw the Gila Yad HaKadosh Baruch B'chvayda V'yatzvah Eloi and Le'malach or they saw of HaKadosh Baruch B'chvayda V'yatzvah as he went over Pasach Shema Pesach shaking his pachah, his Nair V'ayom. That's right. That's good. How can it be? How can I be in love with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have that feeling of pachah Nair V'ayom? What do you mean? That's what Shavu Zoch V'Dibrach HaNevu means. That's what's supposed to, that's how it is Hashem. That's a challenge. That's what the Mishnah sums up in Pirkei Avos. Altiu ki avodah misham shes harav manas lekabos chayim means ever avoid the ahava. In the same breath, the Tana says, "Hey, mer shemayim aleichem." Don't think for a minute that just because you have this closeness and this love for Kadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore everything's great, everything's wonderful. And therefore, I let down my guard and I don't have to be careful about Isurim and just being a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're just the best, the friend. Well, hang in there. On the other hand, don't fall prey to that aspect of everything is pachad, everything is nair, everything is frightening, everything is osa. Where's the love? Where's the geshmak? Where's the chavivas hamitzvahs? Where's the avas haTorah? Where's the avas Hashem Yisbarach? So that's the lesson of Shom V'Zohar, the Berech HaNemu. That's why the Torah uses those same phrases of Shom V'Zohar to describe the avodah of the Lel HaSeder as well. There are two themes that also play out at the Lel HaSeder. One of them is actually related to the word Zechira. To be Zeicher something has the connotation that it's something of the past. It's something that's not happening right now. I remember something that happened with my short-term memory, my long-term memory, but I remember something from that I'm not being Osek in right now. I'm being Osek in something right now. That's not Zechira. That's what they... He used to say about the Rugged Shavuot. The Rugged Shavuot was known as Mamish never forgot anything. Mamish Kol Tarakula, every single nuance of everything, you never forget anything. So I don't know whether this comment was attributed to Yer Smecha. Yer Smecha and the Rugged Shavuot, both Rabbonim in the city of Dvinsk. So they were colleagues, they were contemporary Rabbonim at the same time. So I don't know whether this particular comment was related to the name of it, or Smecha, name of somebody else. They were asked about the Rugged Shavuot, how could it be that he never forgets anything? He never forgets a line in the Taisus, never forgets a Mocha, never forgets a Ram, never forgets a Rishalmi, a Zayir, never forgets anything. So the response was that the Rav Hashem did not have such a good memory. He had an average memory, maybe a little better than average memory. He said he was such a Masvid that he was always Chazmin Kol Torah Kula. He was always doing everything. So it wasn't like he had to draw upon his memory from like, I saw this sugya last time that he had me 7.5 years ago. No. Now means every second of the day was something. So Bava Metzia was always within a few hours. He had finished learning Bava Metzia by yesterday. He had finished Maseches Yevamot. It was never that long. Forget about Shishchi Beis Chodesh. It was never enough time for him to forget anything. So again, I'm not sure which is a more powerful story. Whether he would have had a great memory, or whether he chas will talk. I'm not sure which way, but it's a fascinating concept. So Zechira is for things that happened in the past. So what does Lel HaSeder? Lel HaSeder, an experience of Zechira, is it something in the past or is it something different than that? So we all know, we mentioned this last week, that one of the passages we say in Dagod, which has its source from the Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, behold, over door, chayavadim, lirus, asatzmo, kiliyotzim, person is obligated each and every generation to view themselves as if they left Mitzrayim. So the Rambam, when he quotes that din, so he adds a word, kiliyotza atam Mitzrayim, ayin tof hey. The Rambam in that word changed the whole mindset, the whole picture of the Seder. That we thought that the Lel HaSeder was something of the past. We thought, I'm telling a story about what happened to my great, 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 great grandfather 3,000 plus years ago. That's it. So, no. The Lel HaSeder is not old news. The Lel HaSeder is current events. Lel HaSeder is Kiliyotz Achshav Mitzrayim. To such an extent that there's a famous verse from the Nitziv, the Nitziv explains that the mitzvah of Kriyas Hallel on the Lel HaSeder halachically has the status like a Hallel B'Shas HaNes. It's not a halal of events in the past. The tzibbuk, the whole shtick of Torah, the machlokes in the tzibbuk, some sefer about when you say halal about a miracle, is that a deraisa, is that a derabbanan? So the tzibbuk basically holds that if you're saying halal about a previous miracle, that's derabbanan. If you're saying halal about a present day miracle, that's a deraisa. That's why, according to the tzibbuk, the very first Purim, when they celebrated Purim the first time, that was a deraisa celebration. We celebrate Purim for events of 2,500 years, but that's a derabbanan celebration. The very first Chanukah was a deraisa. Chanukah after that was on a midderabbanan. So that's what the Netziv says, that Leil HaSeder is a deraisa all the time. The halal about Leil HaSeder is a deraisa because it's never in the past. It's now because b'chol dor v'dor chayav al versus atzol k'li yotzei mitzrayim. So Leil HaSeder is almost a mix between the two. But on the one hand, it's zechira. It's something which focuses on the past. And on the other hand, it's something that focuses on the present. And it's not a surprise that the parasha that Chazal chose, which depicts the entire story, that if you think about it, when we quote all the psukim, it was the second half of Magid, we elaborate upon the story of Tzitz Mitzrayim, so it's obvious we don't pick Shmos for Aaron Bo, we pick Parashat Tzitzisov or the parasha of Havas to Bikurim. So it's not that we chose to pick Chazal instead of that. That's the Mishnah says, the end of Psachim, Maschim Arami of Vidorish, Gorim Vidorish Kala Parasha Kula. The Rambam describes that's the Iker, the Sefer Tzitz Mitzrayim, is the parasha of Arami Yovid Avi. The other things that we say, yeah, but bottom doesn't mean hogim, those are, you know, nice to say, we should say whatever the Havana should say, but the real Iker, the thrust of that God that begins with the words Arami Yovid Avi. So, I mean, Abad Abayed is also Masul Gnus. Again, there are other parts that are also Allah in nature, but the Arami Yovid Avi is critical. Derish Kala Parasha Kula. So, what is the significance of Arami Yovid Avi? It really has both aspects in it. On the one hand, it's a call to the past. It's chazor of our history. That's what it is. It's a history lesson. Arami Yovid Avi, there was a Yaakov Avinu, and there was a love one of a Mitzrayim, of Yavashom Zerbaat, there was Shvatim, they ran down to Mitzrayim. This is what happened. We were enslaved. I'm sitting here thousands of years later. I'm bringing my Bikur in Eretz Yisrael. I'm telling a story. I'm reading a history book. That's what Arami Yovid Avi is. And yet the introduction to the parasha of Arami Yovid Avi is very, very fascinating. The Torah says that the farmer comes with his fruit. That's what Arami Yovid Avi is really said, but Shasa Bas Bikur. And the farmer appears to the Kohen, he says the following introduction. He got it, the Ayyim Hashem Kivasi Lords. He says, I just got off the plane. I just started Kivasi Lords. Got it, the Ayyim Hashem Kivasi Lords. I just came. I always have the words of the Shiva, Govach Tzatzal. Shiva came in my mind. I used to always quote this pasuk. He said, many, many Sichot used to say, Ani Lomik. Those who remember the Shiva, he had a very, very unique way of I don't do justice to his presentation. Ani Lomik. Katuv, Gadati Hayom, Hashem Lokecha, Kivati Lords. Today, Bemet, today, Bemet Hayom. Atak Vashiva Dorot Yerushalmi. You're already seven generations Yerushalmi. That was always the phrase that was always described for the person who lived there. He's lived there. It's like Lahava of the dolls. Like when you say today in America, this family came in the Mayflower. I mean, they've been around since Shesh River, since the beginning. So in Yerushalayim, that was the phrase he used to use. Sheva Dorot, seven generations. I never understood it because they've been saying that phrase for the last like five generations. You would think it would go in inflation. That would be already the 12th generation, but that's the phrase. Sheva Dorot Yerushal Mikva. So the Rashi would say, Ani Lo Mevin, he got there by Matos Achshav. He just got off. Nefesh B'Nefesh got off the plane now. So he says, no, that's the word. Maybe it's Bikurim. Maybe Bikurim. In the same breath that he tells over the story of the past, he's living the present. He's here. He's I just crossed the Yarden today. This is my first year. I never owned fruit. I never came before. It's that mixture, which is almost contradictory in nature, which makes up the emotions of Leil HaSeder as well. Leil HaSeder is the time when we connect to the past, and yet we're very, very, very much celebrating the present. We'll see a moment as we go on, but where the future goes to. But where it's not a stira. These two themes, as we've seen throughout the last 2 weeks of Shiurim, are not contradictory, they're complementary. Because if a person's whole Avodah is only something of the past, so it's going to lose that freshness, it's going to lose that excitement. It's very, very hard to present that to the next generation. We become almost like a relic of the past. All you can talk about is, this is what we did in the Alta Haim, and this is the old country, and this is the way it was. But Zaidi, what does that do with me? This is America, it's a new world. So if mitzvahs are always presented in that way, that there's something, a relic of the past, so there'll be a relic of the past. I think we all know about the famous song from maybe Rottenberg about we've all become things of the past. When the Sefer Torah is put behind that other museum display, but it's very nice. It's very interesting. You know, and Passover was a very interesting thing that was celebrated by Jews for many years. But it'll do with me. So you have to be careful when you focus on just the current of the past. It has to be real. It has to be contemporary. On the other hand, you have to be very, very careful, because if you make it too contemporary, and you lose sight of the fact that we've been celebrating Pesach for thousands of years. That what we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years, we've been celebrating Pesach. For thousands of years, we've been keeping Shabbos. For thousands of years, we've been learning Torah. Thousands of years, we've been doing mitzvahs. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. And that should be mechazeg us. We've quoted in the past, Yaakov Emden said, the greatest proof of the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the existence of Klal Yisrael. Against all odds, we're still here. Not only are we still here, we're still doing mitzvahs. We're still doing what our Avi Seinu did. It's a low you won't use so far. We had a fascinating trip. I was once in Berlin, and I went to say Shum in the yeshiva in Berlin. And one time I went, I had the schus to take Rabbi Shechter with us. We brought a few bachurim from the yeshiva. And then Rabbi Shechter joined us like later into the trip for a couple of days. So some fascinating experiences together. So one afternoon, we were basically saying shurim pretty much most of the day for the different bachurim in the yeshiva there. Smicha boys and whatever, different people, whatever it was in the yeshiva. And we had a little bit off in the afternoons, a little bit of time. So the yeshiva there arranged for us like a little, 1 or 2 days, a little bit of touring. We should see a little something that would interest us. So one of the afternoons, so we went to one of the museums, I forgot about it, which one of the famous museums in Berlin. And it wasn't a Jewish museum per se. They had it some Jewish parts of it. It wasn't like a Jewish museum per se, but there was some fascinating, historical things. So there was a letter there from dating back from about 2,500 years ago in Greek, from the ancient Greek Empire. It was a letter I knew about. I learned about it in Jewish history many years before, but this was actually the original letter itself was found was in this museum. It was a letter of a request by a group of Jewish soldiers who in the Greek army stationed somewhere, I think if I'm mistaken, off the coast of Africa somewhere, that by a group of soldiers, Jewish soldiers, that had sent in a request to the commanders. It wasn't a Jewish army, it was a Greek army, sent in a request that for 1 week in the springtime, if they could please be able to provide, have their own food or something, they shouldn't be asked to eat all the regular rations of the army. They'll prepare their own food for 1 week in the springtime. They'll make kosher Pesach, they'll make matzahs. Looking at this, this is 2,500 years old. So I remember Rabbi Shechter, and it is beautiful, in only Rabbi Shechter's way, So I was like so misfall, like so excited. Rabbi Shechter said, so we know the Jews were keeping Pesach 2,500 years ago. Yeah, we know they were keeping it 3,500 years ago also. He was excited also, but he was saying like what's the Chiddush? I was saying, well, it was a Chiddush while the Jews were keeping Pesach. He said, we know the Jews were keeping Pesach. We know they weren't even Chametz 2,500 years ago. But it's always nice to see it when you see it, you see it b'chush. So it's important for us. We should tell that story to our kids. I don't know if you have to schlep them to the museum in Berlin for it, but you should tell them. You should know, you should feel they're connecting to something big. When we're connected to something which has been around for a long time, when you feel you're part of a Messiah, you feel you're part of a legacy, you're part of a chain, you're part of something really, really chashuv. So that in of itself is a tremendous, tremendous inspiration. I forgot what it was just not long ago. I was listening to something. They were talking about some institution, I forgot what the context was, but someone in the news said something like, "It's such an amazing thing, this institution, this whatever it was, it's been around for 100 years already. Wow, like it passed the test of time. It was around 100 years. 100 years." Chofetz Chaim was still alive 100 years ago. That's like the end of Jewish history. 100 years ago, it's a joke. Our grandparents were 100. So my parents have been alive 100 years ago. So, that's a joke. It's a nothing. Torah has been around 3,300 plus years. So That should give you a tremendous chizuk in your amunah. So those are things we have to strengthen. On the Leila Seder, we have to strengthen our connection to the past, our zechivah to the past, and we have to connect that we have to strengthen our understanding that it's as contemporary as today as it was 3,300 years ago. So the stiras of zechira and shasadeis are not stiras. They go hand in hand. So we talked a little bit about the past and the present. Obviously, we have to leave a little bit into the future. I think that really be able to get to the last of our nekudos that I want to point out about in terms of almost the theme that's been over the last 2 weeks, almost contradictions, and yet in the end turn out not only to be contradictory, but actually complement one another. When it comes to the mitzvah of Sivat Yis Mitzrayim, so the halacha tells us, the Mishnah tells us, Masim Masav Gnusim Sami Shevach. Everyone agrees you have to start with down the dumps, talk about the bad parts, and eventually build up to the glory. I think Mark quotes two different opinions, what that means. So Reb Chaim actually, as a comment, Reb Chaim says that unlike the mitzvah of Zechira on a regular night, regular day, regular night, which doesn't require a derech sipur, doesn't have to be a story, but let us say it has to be a story. And a story, you have to write it, you have to have a beginning, you have to have an end. If you just write a half a paragraph, so you're not going to get credit for writing a story, you got to write it. Got to have a theme. It's got to have an introductory. It's a long time since my days of high school English, but or comp, English comp 101 back in YU. But if I remember correctly, you have to have an introduction. You have to have a conclusion. If it's a story, you have to have a plot. You have to have characters and development of a plot, a subplot. You have to have a whole. So I'm not just to say one or two lines. So that's what Chaim said. Sipur, it's called the sipur. It's a story. It has to have a beginning, it has to have an end. So the beginning is the gnus, and the end is the shevach. So the only thing is that it's not clear in the Gemara what the gnus and what the shevach is. Now, one opinion in the Gemara says that the gnus is avodah mayinu, the shevach is v'yetzienu, and the other one says the gnus is b'tchila ovde v'nezara, and the shevach is v'yachshav kivana machamam. What's the machlokes? One opinion in the Gemara is focusing on the physical geula. The other is focusing on the spiritual geula. The answer is they both happened. There's no question they both happened. Question is, where's the focus? Where's the emphasis on? And we paskin l'aloch, and some say it was never really machlokes, even in the days of the Gemara. We say both. That's why in our Magid, we say, Avodah Mayinu, Vayetzienu, Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, we used to be idol worshippers, Yachshav Kivan HaMacham L'Vedosah, now of the Hashem. So we paskin, it's not a stira. It's not a stira whether you're physical gula, spiritual gula. Because the emphasis is the physical gula and spiritual gula go hand in hand. They're not contradictory to one another. They also complement one another. Because as the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva, that why is it that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us all these brachas of Olam Hazeh? All the brachas we say in Kriya Shema, and Parshas Bechukosah, and Parshas Kisavo, we speak about rain and peace and success and prospering your animals. Chamitzvayam Aleik, the real schar for mitzvahs is in the next world. The next world is Kula Ruchni, says the Rambam. What are we talking about animals and rain and wine and oil? What does that have to do with chamitzvahs? So the Rambam writes, that's not Chavetz Bechlal. That wasn't the Kavanas HaTorah. All the brachas of Gashmias, says the Rambam, are just there to enable us to keep on growing your mitzvahs. Because the Rambam writes, if you have wars and you have famines, you have sickness, who's going to have time to sit and learn Torah? You're so tarud and all these things about Olam Hazeh. Who in the world's going to have time to be Matzliach and Torah and Yir Shemayim and Rasiyas HaMitzvahs? So the brachas of Gashmias are not the end of the game, the means to the end. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you started to do mitzvahs, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to give you a brach v'tzlacha. I'll be mevarach in ma'isi adecha. There'll be peace in the world. There'll be peace in Eretz Israel. And then you'll be able to grow more and more and more. That's the role of Gashmias. The Gashmias is not a stivut to the Ruchnias. The Gashmias sets the stage for higher success in Ruchnias. And the opposite direction as well. But the Gashmias by itself is meaningless. The Varm B'Talim. Anti-Torah by itself. The minute that Ruchnius is infused into it, all of a sudden, what would have otherwise been just a gluttonous experience of sitting down and having a piece of meat and wine is now a yontif meal. What would have otherwise been just simply a person involved in Tanugi Olam Hazeh is now a Shabbos. So it's a yontif. All the beautiful things of this world, all the gifts of this world. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world to be a miserable world, he wouldn't have created such a beautiful world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have created all the yummy food. If he wanted food not to be tasty, he wouldn't have created it tasty. He made tasty food. He wanted us to enjoy the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to enjoy our families. He wanted us to enjoy each other. He wanted us to be happy. He wanted us to be nana from this world. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made it. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be done in the way that's meaningful. So therefore, all the involvement that we have in this world is all the Kedusha V'Tahara. Our marriages are Kedushin, and our Shabbos begins with Kiddush, and our Yom Tov is Kodesh, is Mikra Kodesh. The Ruchnis is what gives the Gashmis its bracha. Otherwise, Gashmis is the greatest klala in the world. What a klala just to be involved in the animalistic tendencies. That's a klala. But when it's done there, Kedush, it's an unbelievable bracha. So the Gashmis assists us in our Ruchnis, and the Ruchnis puts the Gashmis into the proper perspective. It makes it enjoyable. And this ultimately sets the stage for the future as well. We look forward to the future, to the ultimate Geula, the same way that Geula is Mitzrayim. In the world of halacha, of the mitzvah of magid, has both components. It has the gashpis and the ruchnias, the avad ma'inu and the chil of the avedizara. That's what the gulas and level is going to be like as well. That's the last words. Ram ends off Sefer Mishneh Torah. If the 14 svarim of everything you ever want to know about kol haTorah kula, Ram ends off with the illustration of what Yibos Mashiach is going to be like. The Ram poses the challenge, the very, very the last two Ramams in Mishneh Torah. The Ram poses us the challenge and says, but why did the Chum and Neviim misavet Yimos HaMashiach? Lo isavuach HaChum and Neviim Yimos HaMashiach? For what? The Ram says, lo kadeh sheyishtadu b'umas ha'olam. That's what we've been davening on Imam, and that's why Jews went to the death scene on Imam, and so that we should run the world. That's what we want. Sheyishtadu b'umas. That's what we're plotting for. So he comes around and says, ela kadeh, that the world should be a place the world will be a place where all the distractions of this of Olam Hazeh, the wars, the famines, the illness, all the things that have stopped us all these years in growing to become the greatest that we could possibly be in Avodas Hashem. There'll be such a shalom ba'olam, there'll be such a peace in the world, such bracha v'atzlach and ashpa, bracha v'kadosh baruch hu and gashmis in this world, that there'll be no other desire of anybody in this world than Ladasa Hashem. Umalad Deh Hashem Kamayim Liyam Chasim. That's the most Mashiach. That was taka worth it to daven for. That was worth it to hope. That was worth to sing for. That's what Ani Mamin is. To yearn for the day when the Gashmis, the Geula, will set the stage for the Ruchnis Geula as well. Which is exactly what started at the Leil HaSeder. So the Leil HaSeder is a Tipa Ben Ayam. Yitzias Mitzrayim was a tam, was a taste of what the ultimate Geula is going to be. Teischa, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Arenu Niflos, the celebration of the Leil HaSeder sets the stage for what the real celebration of the Geula Shleim of Yosef Lava will be. We're able to incorporate some of the themes that we spoke about last tonight about the different dargas of Kedusha, and the machshavas and halachas, and the lumos and the lames, and the liros and the haros, and the zocher v'shomers, and the gashmis and the ruchnias, and the past and the present and the future, all together, and all these different thoughts come together in the Leil HaSeder. So we'll be able to get a little bit of a tam of what the next world will be, what the Nos V'Shev will be. Kimolatz Deas Hashem Kabbayim Yom HaSeh, we should be zoich, everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful yontif, and we should be zoich to only see Nisim and Leflos. So I think this is as the change of the clock tonight. So this is, I think, at least the end for this kufa in terms of the, at least the winter shiurim. I don't know what next Mitzvah Shabbos will bring. I think we're still trying to figure out the Shabbos of Gold Rush in terms of a live Zoom combination. I have no idea yet. So we'll get to that Mitzvah next week, whatever that'll be. So, and we'll see after Pesach. So we'll revamp and we'll retalk as to what schedule, under what circumstances, and what the next Liman Halacha will be. So again, it's hard for me to tell you in advance what's going to happen after Pesach. I'll actually get to Pesach first, okay?